Good morning, and welcome to our Advent worship service. We begin our service with a prayer to our Lord and God. O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we have gathered here today to hear your word and to worship and praise your holy name. Grant that we may be strengthened in our faith and love by your holy word. Give us the comfort of knowing that with Jesus as our good shepherd, we have nothing to fear, but know that he works everything in our lives according to your plan and for our good. Hear us and bless us for Jesus' name's sake. Amen. We continue with the opening hymn of Lift Up Your Heads, Ye Mighty Gates.
Thank you.
Please rise. We begin our service in the name of the Triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. We continue with a responsive reading taken from Isaiah chapter 40. Say to the daughter of Zion, surely your salvation is coming. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough places smooth. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. O Zion, you who bring good tidings, get up into the high mountains. O Jerusalem, you who bring good tidings, lift up your voice with strength. Lift it up and be not afraid. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and gently lead those who are with young. We join to make confession of our sins. O merciful God, I confess to you with a sorrowful heart all my sins. I have sinned against you and what I have thought, said, and done. Have mercy upon me, I pray, and forgive me for Jesus' sake. Send your Holy Spirit to help me know your holy will and willingly obey it in the spirit of Christian love and thankfulness. Preserve me in the Christian faith so that I finally enter the eternal life in heaven through our Savior, Jesus Christ. God, our Heavenly Father, has been merciful to us, for he delivered up Jesus on the cross for our offenses and raised him again for our justification. Since the Lord gave the keys of the kingdom of heaven to the Christian church, saying that whoever sins you forgive, in his stead, they are forgiven. Therefore, according to Jesus' command, as a called servant of God, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We pray. Stir up our hearts, O Lord, to prepare the way for your only Son. By his coming, give us strength in our conflicts, and shed light on our path through the darkness of this world, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Please be seated. Our first reading is taken from Paul's letter to the Philippians, chapter 1, verses 3 to 11. Sanctify us. Oh, that's the next one. Anyway, this is a prophecy. Well, we're reading from Malachi chapter 3, verses 1 to 4. And this is a prophecy where the Son of God, is Jesus Christ, is speaking here, and he talks about sending a messenger before him, which would be John the Baptist. It tells of how the Lord will come to refine and purify. Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, in whom you delight. Behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming, and who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and as a purifier of silver. He will purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer to the Lord an offering in righteousness. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasant to the Lord, as in the days of old, as in former years. The second reading is from Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 to 11. Sanctify us by your truth, O Lord. Your word is truth. The Apostle Paul shows a special heart for these Christians, Philippi, as he speaks of always remembering them in his prayers, and how his concern for them was that they be strengthened in the faith and preserved in the faith until the day of the Lord, which is Judgment Day. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making request for you all with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun this good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ, just as it is right for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my chains and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers with me of grace. For God is my witness, how greatly I long for you all with the affection of Jesus Christ. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. Here ends our scripture readings. Praise be you, O Christ. Please stand and we'll join in confessing our Christian faith and the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. Our next hymn is Comfort, Comfort Ye, My People. authorized for the reading of the sermon text. Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God that we consider this morning is taken from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 3, verses 1 to 6. Now in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate, being governor of Judea, Herod, being tetrarch of Galilee, his brother Philip, tetrarch of Iturea, and the region of Trachonitis, and Lysanias, tetrarch of Abilene. While Annas and Caiaphas were high priests, the word of God came to John, the son of Zacharias, in the wilderness. And he went into all the regions around Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins, as it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough ways smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God." So far our text. Please be seated. In the name of the Christ child, whose birthday we look forward to with eager anticipation, dear fellow redeemed. During the Christmas season, the spirit of joy experienced by Christians is peace, joy, and hope. As preparations are made for the joyous celebration of Christmas, it's quite common to have a list of traditional things to do, such as buying or making Christmas gifts, putting up Christmas decorations, and preparing special foods. As celebrants go about these various preparations for Christmas, do any of these activities contribute to having a joyous spirit? With the press of the shopping crowds, the financial strain of buying presents, and the time limitations to get everything done, the various preparations for Christmas can lead to stress and anxiety instead of promoting joy. And quite frankly, as Christians, we realize that oftentimes the focus and the reason for a joyful celebration is misplaced. Many have been known to focus on the externals or the trappings of Christmas as being the source of joy, rather than the true meaning of Christmas, namely the celebration of our Savior's birth. While the customary preparations can be very trying at times, yet if we go about them in a balanced and spiritual way, considering the significance that lie behind the different things that we do in preparing for Christmas, it can contribute to a joyous time, a joyous celebration, as we celebrate Jesus' birth. The nature of John the Baptist's ministry spoken of in our text can more than anything else contribute to helping us have a joyous spirit when we celebrate Jesus' birth. As many of you know, John the Baptist was the great forerunner who was to prepare the Jews for the coming of Jesus. His preparations are pictured by the prophet Isaiah in these words: "Prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough ways smooth. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God." So through this symbolic picture, Holy Scripture was speaking of a spiritual preparation of the heart so that Jesus could make his way there to live and reign in our hearts as our loving Lord, reign there with his grace, mercy, and truth. In order that Jesus might enter into the hearts of sinners to bless them with his spirit of heart, obstacles that stood in the way had to be removed, and hearts needed to be transformed so that individuals will see that Jesus is, in fact, their Lord and Savior. These obstacles include misconception about the kind of kingdom that Jesus came to establish, and the misconceptions about people's own spiritual need for a Savior. Looking at the prevailing political and religious conditions in Palestine, we can readily understand why there was a need for John the Baptist to prepare the Jews for Jesus. Our text draws our attention to the political scene of that day. We learn in verse 1, "Now in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate being governor of Judea, Herod being the tetrarch of Galilee, his brother Philip, tetrarch of Iturea in the region of Trachonitis, and Lysanias, tetrarch of Abilene." At this time in history, the Jews were under the rule of the Roman Empire. Tiberius, who had succeeded Caesar Augustus, he was bitterly opposed to the Jews. And the Roman official in Palestine, that is, Pontius Pilate, well, he had no less hatred for the Jews than Tiberius. We can see under Pontius Pilate that, who was the governor of Judea, he caused injustices and persecutions and cruelties of the Jews. Another source of anxiety and distress and disgruntlement to the Jews was the high taxation of the Roman Empire. They hated paying taxes to the Jews. Truly, the glory had departed from Israel, and the scepter or the rule had departed according to Old Testament prophecy. This was to be the condition, the political condition found in Israel at the coming of the promised Messiah to save his people Israel. Many of the Jews who longed for a deliverance from the Roman rule had misinterpreted the Messiah's mission when they read the prophecies of him. They thought he was going to come and liberate them from the Roman oppressive rule and establish civil peace and bring about material prosperity. Is this the kind of peace, joy, and hope that Jesus came to bring? The kind of preparation John the Baptist made certainly didn't suggest it. He didn't go about trying to recruit young Jews to serve in the military or raise funds in order to purchase weaponry. He didn't go about the Jews trying to stir up a revolt so that they would turn against the Roman government rule. Instead, John came preparing a spiritual pathway of their hearts for Jesus to deliver them from the cruel and oppressive rule of sin and the devil and bless them with peace, joy, and hope. Many in our day are unprepared for the entrance of Jesus into their hearts to rule and govern their thinking, their beliefs, and their manner of living. And why is that? It's because for many people, their aspirations are earthbound rather than heavenbound. Most people are more concerned about establishing temporal peace and financial security than they are to obtain spiritual peace of heart, peace with God, and to have the spiritual riches that are to be found in Christ Jesus. So this comes across when the Christmas angel song is misunderstood. You know how it says, "Peace on earth, goodwill toward men"? Have you heard people say, you know what that means? It means that we will have temporal peace if you have people of goodwill. That's not what the angels were singing about. They were saying, we're going to have spiritual peace with God because God has goodwill toward us. The earthly minded, they're trying to establish a heaven here on earth. rather than having their eyes fixed on that new earth and the new heavens above that Jesus will bring forth on the last and final day of this world. You know, when I was growing up as a young person, it just didn't come across to me what kind of heaven would be. I had the idea, well, we're going to be floating around in the clouds. No, he's going to bring forth, at the end of time, he's going to bring forth a new perfected earth with no problems, no sin, no sickness, no pain, no war, no strife, just a perfect world, just like Adam and Eve had at the beginning of time. So, for many people preparing for Christmas, they try to find joy in the externals of Christmas, like the decorations, the gifts, and the foods, rather than the birth of the Savior. Certainly, a peaceful coexistence between peoples here on earth is a desirable thing. I'd like to have peace and not turn on the TV and or read in the internet the wars that are keeping on flaring up and causing the loss of many lives and the destruction of buildings and so on. But as long as people are separated from God, they don't have peace with God, there's not going to be a peace between people. Neither will they have the certain hope of entering that heavenly life in the world to come. Thank Jesus for his mission coming into this world to reign and to deliver us from the reign of sin and unbelief and make us citizens of heaven, where there will be no more strife and sin. When we consider what it is that gives us the reason for peace, joy, and hope at Christmas time, may the Lord help us keep in mind the highest form of the spirit of heart comes from the spiritual meaning behind the different things that we do in preparation for Christmas. For example, this tree. What does it mean to you? Well, they say it's a Christmas tree. It's all decorated. A tree serves to remind us of the tree of life, the beginning of the world. God had made a tree of life. And an evergreen, always alive, ever living, Jesus came to give us everlasting life. How about the gifts? Why do you give gifts to others at Christmas time? Shouldn't they remind us of the greatest gift of all that we have received in Christ? Forgiveness, life, and salvation? Lights. You see lights everywhere at Christmas time. What does that mean? Well, Jesus is the light of the world who dispels the darkness in our hearts and in our lives. So I think if we were to keep these things in mind, you know, what the significance is of the different things that we do for Christmas, it will help us to have peace and joy and hope in Christ. The other reason for the need of John the Baptist to prepare the way for the Lord Jesus can be found in the religious conditions found in that day. Our text directs our attention to this as it reports that both Annas and Caiaphas were high priests. Now, when you hear that, it should cause a red flag to go up. Because when God first established the office of the high priest, there was only to be one high priest. And he was to serve for the duration of his life. Here we got two. And these two were appointed by the Roman government rather than the religious community of the Jews by the Lord, the authority of God. Now, while the Romans removed Annas from his office, the Jews looked at both of them, Annas and Caiaphas, as being their high priest. Well, all this was a religious mess. When Jesus arrived on the scene, the officials, high priest, He had been elevated to an exalted position of having a, being a head of the Jews, both political and religious. And finding both Annas and Caiaphas, being high priests, gave an indication of the kind of leadership that they had in the religious scene. Both Annas and Caiaphas belonged to the Jewish sect of the Sadducees. Now the Sadducees, they didn't believe in a bodily resurrection on the last day, or a judgment day, or an eternal life after death. They also believed that people are the master of their own fate, and that God doesn't really have any kind of effect upon their lives, for good or bad. With these kind of misbeliefs, these religious leaders and those who followed them wouldn't see any need for a savior. Another religious sect that had an adverse effect upon the Jews is the Pharisees. Now, they did believe in a resurrection of the body, a judgment day, and an everlasting life after death. But the problem with the Pharisees was that they believed that you can get to heaven by being a good person. You can win God's favor and entrance by your goodness. Of course, a lot of people think that way today, don't they? They've been thinking that way for a long time. Those who were under the sway of this faulty belief also would not see a need for a savior. And besides this, the religious group of the Pharisees had developed hundreds of laws, man-made laws, that very often enabled people to kind of circumvent, get around God's commandments, and do whatever they wanted according to their desires. This whole picture of religious and spiritual bankruptcy bears a striking resemblance to the impoverished spiritual leadership and teachings that have wormed their way into different branches of Christendom today. For in many churches, we find that they think the mission of Jesus coming into this world was to serve as a role model, just a moral leader, show them how to live, not to be their savior. And the commandments of God, some of these churches are compromised. Following the ever-changing standards of society rather than the unchangeable will of God. Anyone living in such spiritual and moral delusion is missing out on the true joy of Christmas. For they're not really celebrating the birth of Christ. They're celebrating someone coming into this world to show them how to live, not a savior. The sin that rules their lives plagues their consciences with the feelings of guilt, and they do not possess a hope of a joy-filled deliverance in this life or the life of the world to come. The faulty kind of religious leadership that the Jews were subjected to was described by Jesus in this way. It is the blind leading the blind. And because of this, it was very important for John the Baptist to prepare the way for Jesus so that people would receive him as their Savior and they would accept his teachings that blessed them with grace, mercy, and truth, pardon of sins, eternal life in heaven. In preparing the way for Jesus, you could find in John's message a preaching of law and gospel, sin and grace, repentance over sins, and faith in Jesus for the forgiveness of sins and eternal salvation. In this way, the hearts of many were prepared to look to and receive Jesus as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. How thankful and how joyful we can be that the Word of God can make it possible, make the necessary preparations for Jesus to enter our hearts, to bless them with peace, joy, and hope, grace, and mercy. Since we all deal with sin in our daily lives, it can rob us of peace with God and joy of life. we find peace, joy, and hope in the gospel, the good news that Jesus died for our sins, took them all away, and he gives us a gift, the gift of eternal life. So as we go about the preparations for the Christmas holiday, may the Word of God serve to prepare our hearts so that as we celebrate our Savior's birth, we're enabled to rejoice with a spirit of joy that surpasses all kinds of joys. Amen. Please rise. And the peace of God that surpasses understanding shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Please be seated. Our service continues with the singing of the next hymn, Arise, O Christian People. Please rise for prayer. O Lord God, the Father of all light and wisdom, we give thanks unto you for your word, for your laws and commandments, for your sure word of prophecy, and most especially for the gospel of the forgiveness of sins through our Lord Jesus Christ. We ask your blessing on all who preach, teach, read, and study your word, that all people may hear the joyful sound of the gospel of grace. O God, fill us with all joy and peace in believing, that being led by the Holy Spirit, we may repent of our own sin and shame and turn to Christ alone for forgiveness and righteousness. Enable us by your Spirit's power so that we may abound in hope, serve and love you more purely, obey your word with more willing minds, trust you with greater confidence, and love you above all earthly things. Stir up our faith and zeal, O Lord, so that our hearts may be a proper dwelling place for our Savior. Guard and preserve us, so that the devil, the sinful world, and our own flesh may not deceive us or lead us into error in sin. Keep us steadfast and unfaltering in faith and love, so that we may one day experience firsthand the gift which you have given us in Christ, eternal life in heaven. We pray for your blessing on each of our households, for men and women, parents and children. Give strength and healing to the sick. Give comfort to those who sorrow. Give guidance to our youth. Give joy and hope to the elderly. Give courage to the distressed. And lead all of us to focus our lives on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who in his second advent will receive us and all who believe in him unto himself and unto you, O Father, and the Holy Spirit. In his name we pray these things, and in his Jesus' name we also join to pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Receive with believing hearts the blessing of our Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Please be seated. We conclude our service with a final hymn. Thank you. Good morning. The choir will be rehearsing shortly after the service, and the children will be going through their Christmas Eve service as well, 11:15. Please note that this Wednesday we'll have a Advent service, and it's at 6 p.m. and not 5 p.m. That's what it was listed in the calendar, at 6 p.m. And at that service, we're going to be considering the Advent candles, their significance, the spiritual significance of them, and have carols and scripture readings. Upcoming is the Christmas Eve service at 5 p.m., the Christmas Day service at 10 a.m., and as you see in the bulletin, the voters determined to call Pastor Delwyn Moss, who lives in Mapleton, North Dakota, one of the harshest wintry places in this country. I had a conversation with him yesterday, and he's continuing to deliberate on the call, and I'm sure he would appreciate your prayers. We thank all those who helped with the decorating in the church. Looks very Christmassy. Remember, what's the significance of different things that we've put up at Christmas time? The daily rest have finally arrived. They're only a week late. Don't know whether they got caught in the mountain passes or what, but they are in your boxes. Also, if you haven't picked up your contribution envelopes, they are in your boxes as well. There's an update on Pastor Noltings after he had his open heart surgery that's printed out for you in the bulletin. And Barb and I are going to be going up to Sacramento tomorrow to have private communion for our members there and to have a worship service for the folks at Forever Easter House. And may God, we welcome our guests. We're glad to have you. And Ryan is going to be, Lord willing, heading home with his parents. Yeah, they're going to go from the warm climate to the cold climate, but I think they're going to stay inside most of the time. But it's good to have you with us. May God in his grace be with you always.